You may be seated. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, as we continue to make our way through this wonderful book, this book that we have seen as a sermon that has been written down for us. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. We just began this chapter together last Lord's Day. And this morning we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 7. Rather, verses 4 through 7. Hebrews 11, verses 4 through 7. And I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through these verses together this morning. Hebrews 11, verses 4 through 7. What you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full attention to it. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Lord's Day, we considered together the opening verses of Hebrews 11, this great chapter on faith, where our preacher gave to us a description of faith. And you recall the way he described faith there in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, where he told us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Well, in our passage this morning, our preacher gives to us three pictures of what faith looks like. Three pictures of faith before the flood. And those pictures of what faith looks like, how faith manifests itself in life, those three pictures are found in Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And so we have three simple points this morning from our text: by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, and by faith Noah. We begin with Abel. You see him there in verse 4, where our preacher says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Well, here, our preacher takes us all the way back to near the beginning of Scripture, all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 and the story of Cain and Abel. Without rehearsing all the details of that story, our preacher simply describes for us the way in which Abel lived by faith, the way in which Abel's faith came to manifestation in his life, and it had to do with sacrifice. We're told that Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. The preacher doesn't tell us what made Abel's sacrifice more acceptable than Cain's. Was it because Abel offered the firstborn of his flock while Cain simply offered the fruit of the ground? Or was it because Abel offered a blood sacrifice while Cain did not? That's really not what our preacher focuses on. What our preacher does tell us is that Abel offered a sacrifice to God by faith. And that this is what makes Abel's sacrifice more acceptable than the sacrifice of Cain. Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. How do we know that Abel's sacrifice was acceptable? Well, the preacher tells us because through it, he was commended as righteous. In other words, God bore witness to Abel. He bore witness to Abel that he was righteous. And how did God bear witness to Abel that he was righteous? He bore witness to Abel that he was righteous by accepting his gifts. By accepting his sacrifice. Abel drew near to God by his sacrifice. And through his sacrifice, Abel received the testimony of God that he was accepted by God, that he was welcomed by God, that he was justified by God, that he was righteous in God's sight. Abel drew near to God and was not cast out. And we're told that through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Our preacher mentions here that Abel died. He doesn't tell us anything about Cain murdering Abel or about Abel's death or even at this point about Abel's blood crying out from the ground. He'll get there by the end of chapter 12, but not here. That's not really the point he's making here. His point isn't Abel's blood crying out. His point here is Abel's faith still speaking. And what does Abel's faith say? What does it speak? Well, it says that the only way to draw near to God is by faith. Faith in a substitute. Faith in a sacrifice made for our sins. This is the only way by which to receive God's approval and welcome. This is the only way by which to be justified in God's sight. This is the only way by which to be declared righteous in God's sight. By faith in a substitute. By faith in a sacrifice made for sin. And so though Abel died, he still speaks. Abel had the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He had the assurance of acceptance with God and the evidence of that acceptance, and it carried him through death. He still speaks. Abel had this faith, and it is by this faith that he lived and still lives. This is what it means to live by faith. It means to trust in the sacrifice of a substitute. It means to trust that through that sacrificial substitute, we have acceptance with God. And we can draw near to Him. You see what Abel is doing? Abel is bearing witness to Jesus. It's not so much that Abel is a hero to imitate. It's that Jesus is the great hero who saves. And so faith runs to Jesus. That's what we find Abel doing even before the flood. He's running to Jesus. Is that what you're doing? Are you running to Jesus? Do you trust Him as your substitute, as your sacrifice, as the only one in whom and through whom you can draw near to God? It's fitting that Abel is the first one that the preacher lists here in verse 4. Because the whole point that our preacher has been making in Hebrews is that it is only in Jesus Christ that we draw near to God. Is He the one to whom you're running when you struggle with your sin? When you feel the weight of your own guilt and your own wrongdoings, when Satan tempts you to despair, do you look upward and see Him there, the one who made an end to all your sin? You see, the point is not so much that your faith is strong, but that your faith rests in a strong Savior. One who is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He ever lives to intercede for you. Well, that brings us to the next picture of faith that our preacher gives to us in verses 5 and 6 as he points us to Enoch. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Well, here our preacher takes us back once again to Genesis, this time to chapter 5. And if you were to take the time to read Genesis 5, you would find there a genealogy. And what you would find in that genealogy is a refrain that is repeated about every single person who is listed there. And the refrain is very simply this: and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. There's only one exception to that, and that one exception is Enoch. We read of him in Genesis 5, verses 18 through 24. Our preacher explains it this way: Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. And so what a wonderful thing our preacher is setting before us here in these opening verses of Hebrews 11. Abel lived by faith, but he died. Enoch lived by faith, and he did not die. He did not see death. One day, Enoch simply was not there. People looked for him, but couldn't find him because God had taken him up. He did not see death. And our preacher adds that before he was taken up, he was commended as having pleased God. Again, even as God bore witness to Abel, so God also bore witness to Enoch. He bore witness to Enoch that he pleased him, that he was pleased with him. How did God bear witness to him? Well, with Abel, he bore witness by accepting his sacrifice. With Enoch, he bore witness by walking with him. Genesis 5 says that Enoch walked with God, and certainly God would not walk with him unless he was pleased with him. In other words, God's walking with Enoch was testimony to Enoch that he was pleasing to God. Enoch enjoyed sweet fellowship with God here on earth prior to God taking him up. The book of Jude gives us just a little bit more of a window into Enoch's life and what it was like as he lived in those days before the flood. In Jude, verses 14 and 15, Jude writes this. He says, "It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, 'Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" What do you think those days of Enoch were like? Over and over again, the preacher in Jude, the author of Jude, tells us that Enoch was prophesying in the midst of a very ungodly generation, proclaiming a judgment to come upon all the ungodly, of all their deeds of ungodliness that they had committed in ungodly ways. The preacher, or the author in Jude, also tells us something else very interesting. He tells us that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Why is that important? Well, the number seven is often the number of completion. And we learn there in Jude 14 and 15 that this Enoch was the seventh from Adam through the line of Seth. Do you know who the seventh from Adam was through the line of Cain? It was Lamech. And you can go back in Genesis 4 and read of Lamech. And what we're being told here in Jude 14 and 15 is really this great contrast between Enoch, the seventh from Adam through the line of Seth, and Lamech, the seventh of Adam through the line of Cain. Do you remember Lamech? Lamech was the one who took two wives to himself. He was the one who boasted to his two wives of murdering a man for wounding him. Lamech was like Cain, only worse. He boasted of revenge. He said, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's revenge is 77-fold. While Lamech was doing all of this ungodly boasting, making a mockery of marriage, making a mockery of God's justice, making a mockery of God Himself, what was Enoch doing? He was preaching. Preaching of the Lord's coming. Preaching of the holiness of God. Preaching of the judgment to come. Enoch lived by faith. He had the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He had the assurance of acceptance with God, the evidence of that acceptance as he walked with God. And that faith didn't just carry him through death. It actually kept death from claiming him. This is what it means to live by faith. It means to walk with God. It means to trust that death cannot separate you from Him. You see what Enoch is doing. He's doing the same thing Abel did. He's bearing witness to us of Jesus. Again, it's not so much that Enoch is a hero to follow. It's that Jesus is the great hero who saves. Faith runs to Jesus. Is that what you're doing? Are you running to Jesus? Are you walking with God? Do you trust in Him as the one who has delivered you from the bonds of death? Are you pursuing sweet communion with God? Do you spend time with Him in prayer and in reading His Word? Is your life directed towards Him? Do you trust His Word that nothing can separate you from His love in Jesus Christ? The point again is not that your faith is so strong. The point is that your faith is in a strong Savior. Jesus, who is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him. For He ever lives to intercede for them. Our preacher here in Hebrews goes on right after Enoch in verse 6 to say, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. You cannot please God without faith. You must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. You must believe that God accepts those who draw near to Him in Jesus. Philip Edgecombe Hughes puts it very wonderful, very beautifully when he says, when he speaks of reward, our author is not encouraging a mercenary attitude. On the contrary, what he means is that the approach and relationship of faith involves commitment to the truth that the self-existent God is at the same time a personal God and therefore a just and holy God who has a loving concern for His creatures. To imagine that faith is in itself meritorious or establishes a claim on God and His rewards is to do violence to the very concept of faith, which is the response of total dependence on the grace and goodness of God. The assertion of our text is that God rewards those who seek Him, not those who seek His rewards or imagine that they have earned them, which would be something very different. You see, beloved, Enoch sought God and walked with Him and received the reward. And all of this as he lived in those troublesome times, even as he was surrounded by ungodliness and wickedness, exemplified in Lamech, who made a mockery of marriage, who took vengeance into his own hands, who boasted in his sin. Enoch didn't give in to all that. He walked with God. And as he walked with God, he also prophesied of the judgment to come. A judgment that would come in the days of Noah. That brings us to the last picture our preacher sets before us this morning. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Well, here again, our preacher takes us back to Genesis, this time to chapters 6 through 9 and the story of the flood. Noah lived at a time when all the thoughts of man's heart were only evil all the time. Genesis 6 verse 5. They were days of great wickedness, days of great ungodliness, as Enoch has just spoken of them. In those days, Noah was warned by God of events as yet unseen. He was warned that in 120 years, God would come to destroy the world with a flood. And so what did Noah do with that warning? What did he do with the Word of God? In reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. He did this not on the basis of what he saw. The rains were not yet coming. He didn't live anywhere near any great big body of water. But he trusted God's Word, and on the basis of God's Word, he constructed that ark. And we're told at the end of verse 7 that by this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. In other words, Noah believed that God was coming to judge. Noah believed that God was coming to judge and bringing him to a better inheritance, even the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah lived by faith. He had the assurance of things hoped for. He had the evidence of things not seen. He was assured that God would bring him through the judgment. He had evidence that God would bring him to a better inheritance. God's own Word had spoken to him of that. And so by faith, he endured the judgment and he inherited a new world. This is what it means to live by faith. It means to stand on the firm foundation of God's Word. It means to give up this world for a better inheritance. It means to believe that God will carry you through the judgment. He carried Noah through in the ark. And that ark was a picture of Jesus. Jesus is our ark, the one who carries us through the judgment to come. You see, Noah bears witness to us of Jesus, even as Abel did, even as Enoch did. So also Noah does. It's not so much that Noah is a hero to follow. It's that Jesus is the hero who saves. Faith then runs to Jesus. And again, I ask you, is that what you're doing? Are you running to Jesus? Do you trust Him as the one who carries you through the judgment to come? Do you trust Him as the one who brings you into that better inheritance, even heaven itself? As you think about the judgment to come, that great day of Christ's coming, that day when you will stand before the judge of all the earth, do you put your trust and your confidence in Jesus, in a life you did not live, in a death you did not die? Do you stake the whole of your confidence on another's life, on another's death? And looking to Jesus, are you able to say, bold shall I stand in that great day? For who aught to my charge can lay, fully absolved by these I am, by Jesus' blood and righteousness. And Jesus, do you look to that better world, to heaven itself, knowing that that better country is your home? That your home is the true Holy of Holies. And that you will stand in that home dressed in more beautiful garments than any Old Testament high priest ever wore. That your glory and your beauty are the blood and the righteousness of Christ, your great high priest. The point again is not that your faith is strong, but that your faith is in a strong Savior. Jesus, who is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He ever lives to make intercession for them. You see what our preacher has done, beloved, in giving us these three pictures of faith. All three of these pictures of faith come to us from the time before the flood. Abel, Enoch, and Noah. They show us what it means to live by faith in the face of the certain judgment that is coming. What does it mean to live by faith? As we think of that great day of Christ's return, what does it mean to live by faith? As we think of that day when the world will be judged, when every single person will be judged, what does it mean to live by faith? It means to trust in Christ as your substitutionary sacrifice. It means to walk with God in Christ, knowing that death has no claim on you. It means to trust that Christ is such a strong and mighty Savior that He will indeed carry you through the judgment to come. The day is drawing near. That great day is coming. This is no time to run away from Jesus. This is the time to run to Jesus. Because you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, may you look where they were looking. May you look to Jesus. And may you run with endurance the race that has been marked out for you, looking always to Him, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we give thanks to You for Your Word. And we thank You for that firm foundation which You have laid for our faith in Your excellent Word. Even as we have thought in these moments upon some of those great saints of old, Abel and Enoch and Noah, men who lived before the flood, before that great judgment, we're mindful that we too live in those days before the great judgment to come. And that the days in which we live are not all that different from the days in which they lived. In many ways, we are living, as it were, in the days of Noah. There's great ungodliness all around us, and we know even our own struggles with ungodliness and sin. And we have need, even as they did, to run to Jesus, to flee to Him, to put our confidence in His blood and righteousness, to trust that His great victory is the one that has delivered us from the claims of death upon us, and to trust that He will bring us through the great judgment into that better country. And so, Father, as we look to Jesus, may we indeed run with endurance the race that is set out before us. That race is long, that race is hard. We grow weary along the way. And sometimes we must confess that we would surely lose our grip upon Christ, that our faith would not hold. But how thankful we are that so strong and mighty is our Savior, He never lets go of His hold on us. And so may we be encouraged to endure, to press on, to keep looking to Jesus. For we pray these things in His precious name. Amen.